Some good new hymns that Jonathan has chosen this morning. Did you see what I did? It's not choruses, they're new hymns. Some good new hymns. The first one that we sang, "Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not captive to its lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken." Why? Because we have a good, good Father. One that loves us. It's who we are. And as we grab a hold of that, then the freedom comes. But folks, in this country, we have a shallow Christianity. We settle for just having our sins forgiven. That's good. And I'm glad of that. But freedom in this life comes when we know who we are. And the roots of who we are go deep down. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. We let those roots of our personalities, let those roots of our will, let that roots of our soul go deep within His Word, go deep within that relationship, so that it may change us, so that we may be set free from that which longs to bind us here this morning and in our lives. A Latin phrase, ubi amor ibi oculus. Did I say that right? Somebody want to take a guess what that means? Well, there's a couple, three translations. The eyes are better when guided by love. In other words, we see more clearly sometimes when it's guided by love. Or it could be where there is love, there is insight. As the love is there, we begin to understand and know that person. The one I prefer is we love to look at what we love. We love to look at what we love. Now, Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. We're extremely good at lying to ourselves. But what He says is, where your desires are at, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, He's really saying this morning is, where's your treasure? Where is your treasure? Now, why is that important? Because that's where your heart is at. Well, then the next question is, why is that important? Because in Mark, as we've been looking at, the religious leader says, what's the greatest command? Jesus, if you boil it all down, what is the greatest command? And He replied, the most important command is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord with all of your heart. And we put a period right there. No. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. I want you to notice, number one, that Jesus didn't answer His question directly at first. He did not. He could have said, well, the most important is love the Lord, but He didn't do that. He said, stop. Get your gaze away from the law, the written Word that you're so intent on following, and look to Him who the Word reveals. Yes, the Word was given to us so we would know how to live, but mostly it was given to us so we'd know who God is, so we would know who we are. And He says, turn your way from that rote, written Word and look to who the Word reveals. Do you love Him? Do you love Him as He is revealed in the Word? Or have you redefined Him? Do you truly love Him? Is He, do you delight? Is He your treasure? Is He your treasure? Is this where your heart is at? Because where your heart treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. We've looked at loving God with all of your heart. And in our culture, we say, oh, I just love that. I love you with all my heart. I like those colors. I just love them. That's emotion. That's feelings. But that's not what what Jesus is talking about. Loving with all of your heart has everything to do with your will. Where your decisions are made. Where your decisions are made. When you love God with all of your heart, you choose, regardless of how you feel, to place your life in God's hands. To surrender and abandon yourself to God and His ways, regardless of what it feels like. Regardless of what your emotion says. Regardless of what your neighbor thinks. Regardless of what the world says. I have chosen to love God. Isn't that amazing? Don't you wish it was that easy? Okay, I've made the decision. I've made up my mind. It's a done deal. Oh, boy, I wish it was that easy. It's difficult. Why? Because we're also souls and spirits working together and separate at the same time. We are living beings. Living beings. The heart is a great place and a necessary place to start because you must make that choice. You must make that choice. It's a personal choice to accept His salvation. Without that, we're just having a good time. I have chosen to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. That is step one to being able to have this relationship, to being able to be set free. Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's he not saying? You don't call, you're not saved. Okay? And that's just not knowing who he is. Satan knows who he is, and they shiver when they think about him. It's not just knowing about him. It's receiving what he has done. It's allowing the Spirit of God to come and cleanse you of your sins, to fill you with his Spirit. It's accepting him not just as Savior, but Lord. But you must also choose whom you're going to serve and follow. Who you're going to imitate. Where are you going to go get your absolute truth from? In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, Moses said, now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Verse 19, choose life. But you've got to make that choice. You've got to make that choice. I want you to notice that loving God with all of your heart is not enough to fulfill the relationship with God. It also takes our soul. Go back a minute. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and strength and mind. But loving, making that decision is not enough. There's other things that's got to come into play right here. There's other things that must happen, if you will. So what does it look like? What does it look like when we lay down our souls and love Him with all of our soul as well? Turn to Psalms chapter 1. A set of scriptures where you will not see the word soul there at all. But that's what He is talking about. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed to be envied is what that Hebrew word is. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is he who does not lay his roots there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He, because his roots are deep in God's Word and in that relationship, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Let's pray. Father, we live in a time of superficial Christianity, where we wear it like a coat. And Father, we wonder where our strength and power is. We wonder where our freedom is. We wonder where the forgiveness is as the things of the past keep crawling up to fill our minds and our failures keep coming up to us. Father, we see that it's where we have our roots planted that matter. Lord, I pray that you open up the hearts and minds here as only you can. I pray that you teach us how to live free lives. Fill us now as only you can. And I give you the praise in your name. Amen. We've got to lay down a definition of soul. Okay? Soul did not start in Detroit, although I do like that kind of music. It did not start there. Webster calls it this, an entity which is regarded as being the immortal or spiritual part of the person, and though having no physical or material reality, is credited with the function of thinking and willing and hence determining all behavior. You got it? No, I didn't either. The primary meaning of the word soul is breath. It is the breath of mankind. This is what makes us alive. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living person, or literally a living soul. Before that, Adam was just a lump of clay that had been modeled. That's all he was. He went from living, he became living clay rather than ordinary clay. He was made alive. C.F. Lewis said like this in Mere Christianity, "You do not have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body." Read it again. "You do not have a soul. I'm a body that has a soul." That's not what it is. We are a soul. We have a body. The difference is the soul is what is eternal, if you will. The soul is eternal you, and the real you is called to love the Lord with all of who you really are. That eternal being within us is to love the Lord with all of our hearts and God. Now, there's three places that are governed by the soul, if you will. The soul is the source of your appetites, your desires. It is the source of your emotions. It is the source of your intelligence. Three things. The appetites are the desire. God has always intended that the human soul would come to dwell in a place of deep contentment in Him alone. His design of mankind is that the human soul would dwell in a place of deep contentment with Him alone. A place of deep desire for Him alone. Folks, it is not enough to will it in our hearts. We must desire it in our souls, in our very being. We've got to crave it like a dry, parched thirst desires, craves the cool water. When I would haul hay as a young boy, we would be in the fields and you would long for a drink because you were thirsty and you couldn't wait. And the guy running the crew would not let us get a drink when we got back to the barn. No, we would have to unload it first, knowing full well that it would take a while for us to get back there. So you would unload it and you would stack it and you'd put it in the barn, and then you would have that thirst fulfilled. That's the thirst that we have within our souls to know who Jesus is, to know who God is. The question then is, where are you going to find that? Where are you going to find that get that thirst taken care of? Psalms chapter 1, I want you to compare the tree to your soul. Okay? There's where the connection is. I want you to compare the tree to your soul. That tree is pushing its roots towards what it desires. What that tree desires. It desires water. It desires sun. It desires nourishment that the soul brings. And in your mind's eye, I want you to see it pushing those roots ever so further down. I want you to understand also, this is how God created it. Its purpose in life is to produce fruit. And to do that, it's pushing its roots ever farther out and ever farther down, so it can do what it was created to do. There's no decision to it. It does it. That's how God created it. It's pushing its roots down. It's searching for that which it desires so that it can produce fruit. No decision it has to make. I'm doing it. This is what I was created to do. Now, that's not the way mankind is. Mankind was created with the ability to choose where it lays its roots down. That's you. What desires fill their lives? What governs their lives? We were given the ability to choose. The psalmist gives us two places that you can put down your roots. Two places that you can feed the desires that are within you. Verse 1, it is in the advice of the wicked, or to stand with the sinners, or to join with the mockers. That is your choice where you let those roots go down to. The second is they delight in the word or the law of the Lord. Look at that word delight. That's an appetite word. Two places you can put your roots down and you can take it deep. You can take this world and all of its thoughts. You can take the desires that you have to succeed and the pride of man, and you can let those roots go deep in that, but you will not get what you think you want. Or you can delight. Push those roots deep in the Word of the Lord. We've got an illustration. Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, the woman was convinced. Before that, she was living a great life. Everything was taken care of. There was the relationship of God Almighty, the relationship with her husband. Everything was taken care of. It was a beautiful, beautiful place until someone, the serpent, brought some other truth in. Other truth in. And she became convinced as she laid her roots down in that other truth because it sounded like what she would like. And it says she saw the tree was beautiful. Its fruit was delicious. Both of those were true. It's beautiful. The fruit looked delicious. And she wanted what she thought that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. She saw. She pushed her roots deep down into that truth that the serpent was saying to her. She pushed them through. She saw it. She longed to satisfy the desires of where her roots were pushing to. I want that. I long for that fruit. God's holding out on me. There's more wisdom out there than I can imagine. If I just eat that fruit, then everything will be taken care of. Marvelous. And she allowed that desire to fill her life. Was it what she thought it was going to be? No. The outcome was sin. And that is what she fed herself with. Folks, it has not changed. Just because our calendar reads 2019. Where you plant your roots, where you are drawing your roots down, that's what's going to fill your lives. And if it's with this world, that's what you get. But parents, that's what your kids get as well. Because you are the ones nurturing them. She was fed, and it did not turn out like she believed. The second part of the soul is emotion. God has always desired our lives be full of rejoicing and praising and peacefulness in Him, which is the fruit of our salvation. The fruit of our salvation is not just being forgiven. The fruit of our salvation is rejoicing and praising and peacefulness and freedom and all the things His Word says comes to us. But we must take the roots of our lives and let them go deep within us. Folks, this is not necessarily physical comfort and ease. The psalmist said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all." The Scripture tells us that the Lord disciplines those He loves. If you remember discipline, that was not very easy. So it's not physical comfort that He's talking about. Because the tree is planted by that stream or the revealed Word of God, it sends its roots deep. And regardless of what's going on around it, regardless of the sun, regardless of the drought that's going on, its roots are deep and it's near the river. And as a result of that, things happen. Because it's pushed its roots deep, there is joy of fruit no matter the hardship. Think of the tree. Because of where it's at, because of where it has its roots planted deep, there is the joy of fruit no matter the hardship that's going around it. When the fruit, listen to this, when the fruit of the tree pushes out, that is the tree rejoicing in fulfilling what it was created to do. It was created to produce fruit. And when that fruit starts to pop out, that in essence is the tree rejoicing because it's doing what it was created to do. I was created to produce this fruit. There it is. If we could hear trees rejoice, you would hear singing like you cannot believe in the springtime. This was what I was created to do. We are created in the image of God here on earth. You and I. Doing things God created us to do. What are some of them? To know Him. Not just know about Him. to know Him deeply and personally that a tree can't, a dog can't, a cat can't. Nothing else created can know God like you and I can. But also to love Him. Not because of what He can do for us, but simply because He loves us. One of the great things I was able to do at VBS was to look at each one of those kids and say, God loves you tremendously. He loves you. You are so precious to Him. So precious. Regardless of what this world says, one of the classrooms was all girls. And when I said that, I said, you have to understand, this world is going to look at you and say, you've got to look a certain way, you've got to react a certain way, you've got to be a certain way, and you're going to internalize that, and you're not going to think yourself very pretty. I want you to know what your Heavenly Father thinks. You are precious to Him. You're beautiful to Him. Regardless of nobody else says that to you, I want you to hear those words. We were created to know Him. We were created to love Him because He loves us tremendously. But we were also created to rejoice in Him. Folks, the Jewish religion was not supposed to be a dry religion. They made it that way. You look at the harvest. You look at the rejoicing. You look at the trumpets. You look at the tambourines. Did you know David danced before the Lord? He did. Now, for your comfort, I do not see that happening here very much. Okay? But they rejoiced in who they were. They were God's people doing God's work. Not in perfection, but they rejoiced. They rejoiced. But folks, we were also created to share Him as a fruit tree shares its fruit. The tree produces the fruit, and we get to participate in that. In this area, if you beat the cows to it, okay, you can participate in enjoying the fruit. We have the privilege of sharing Jesus with others. The fruit of our salvation. How wonderful that. Don't be ashamed of that. Randy, I just don't know enough to share. Are you saved? Yes, you know enough. That's just nothing more than telling your story. Here's what He's done. Think of yourself as that fruit tree. This brings a peacefulness to our lives regardless of the circumstance. Regardless if the world is falling apart around you, here's who I am. I am a child of God. He has forgiven me of my sins. He loves me tremendously. He's doing things in my life I cannot even imagine. And He is setting me up to produce fruit that I can't see. I will wait until He is finished. I will let Him bring that drought at times. I will let Him produce things in my life that I cannot see. See, our circumstances do not govern our joy. It's our relationship with God. So often that gets switched. So often that gets switched. There is great rejoicing in that. And folks, we need to let that rejoicing out. We contain it. We try and keep it in fences. But it must be expressed. Psalms chapter 66, 1 through 4. Shout for joy to God all the earth. Oh, that's great, God. Oh, that's wonderful. You're a good God. Shout it out. Sing to the glory of His name. Make His praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down before You. They sing praise to You. They sing the praises to Your name. Shout for joy. When was the last time you let that joy out? When was the last time that you shouted for God and just expressed what was in your heart? That's part of the soul. That's part of the emotions that He has given us. The last one, though, is intelligence. God has always intended us to be settled in who He is and who we are in Him. So often we approach God in a relationship of, I've done okay this week, so You must accept me. That's not how it is. It's who He is. He is an awesome God. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the one, Jesus Christ, that's coming to reclaim that which is His. That's who He is. But never forget who you are in Him. Never forget that. Your relationship is not based on what you do. It's who you are and what Christ has done in you. That word settled means to become, to quiet yourself down, to calm yourself down. Spiritually, and that will lead to physical peace and physical mentality. Now, Eve, this did not describe Eve, did it? She didn't have calmness. She was not settled. There was a disruption in her calm. Why? Because she did not believe what God had said. She wanted something different than what God had for her. And there was a disruption in her calm. I can imagine her saying, God, where did you go? Why aren't you here? And because she relied upon her emotion, He must be holding out on me. Her mind was racing in every direction. Can this be true? I'm being told this by that serpent. Maybe it's true. Her mind was racing. What do I believe? What do I believe? And her thoughts became unhinged from the truth that she had known. God said, if I eat of that, we're going to die. Became unhinged. I prefer the other. See, God desires and expects us to live out our lives here in intelligent faith. Read it again. Not blind faith. He always instructs us on where that faith is to go. It's intelligent faith. What has God revealed in creation? He's the author. He's the creator. Absolute authority. He has the right as a creator to determine how we live our lives here on this earth. What's He revealed in the nation of Israel? That there are a race of people that He has taken to show Himself to. So that through that nation, the Savior will come. The Messiah. So when that Messiah comes, He will be able to show us what it's like to live as a person of God here on this earth. And to go to the cross and buy our redemption so we can go back in the garden that we lost. What's He revealed in the cross of Jesus? What's He revealed? Sin demands a price. And you can't pay it. Sin separates us from all that is good. And you leave this planet without having that sin debt taken care of. It is your choice to spend an eternity separated from all that is good in a place that God does not intend you to go, but He will allow you to walk, march yourself through that gate. It's called hell. It's made for the devil and his demons. But He will let you go to that. Because sin has a price, and it must be paid. But don't miss. That price was paid. It says that God so loved you that He sent and gave His only, unique, in all of the creation, His only unique Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is what God desires of each person that has ever walked this earth. But you must choose. Sin has a cost. But that cost has been paid. Let these answers direct your heart. Not what you see on the news. Not even what you desire. Let the answers to these questions direct your thoughts and your heart. Joshua said in 23 verse 14, he's about ready to die. He has had a marvelous life. So he walked with Moses for most of his life. And he saw how Moses worked. And the mantle of leading the nation of Israel went from Moses to Joshua. How would you have liked that? And he's led them on this conquest of the nation of Canaan. He says, soon I'm going to die. I'm going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your heart, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. All those promises that He had given them, that was just so far out there, it was hard to believe. Hard to believe them. He said every single one of them has come to pass. Not one of them did He fail on. So He says this. When it comes to your life, fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors worshipped where they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse, it's your choice. If you refuse to serve Him, then choose today whom you're going to serve. Bob Dylan said, everyone serves somebody. It could be the devil, it could be the Lord, it could be the government. Doesn't matter. You're going to serve somebody. Choose today whom you're going to serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land we live? But as for me and my family. See Joshua do this. For me and my family. As much as my influence is on this family. We're going to serve the Lord. That's the decision you've got to make. Will it make a difference? Will it make a difference, Randy? There's a man by the name of Horatio Spafford, page 410. He is a prominent American lawyer. In 1871, his only son died at 4. The same year, the great Chicago fire left him in personal financial ruin. 2 years later, he was scheduled to travel to Europe with his family, and he sent them ahead because he was trying to work on some zoning things because of the fire. While crossing the Atlantic ahead of him, the ship, his family collided with a sailing ship and sank. All four of his remaining children, four daughters, drowned at sea. Only his wife, Anna, survived, and we have heard her telegram that simply read, "Saved alone." Saved alone. Now just pause for a moment. The tragedies in this man's life. Son died. Financial ruin. Daughter's gone. You would think he would be bitter. As he was traveling across that same ocean path to get to his wife, he got to the spot real close to where his daughters went down. Turn to page 410, because he wrote these words. Page 410 in the big book. He wrote this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot that has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the illustrations. Thank You, dear Father, that we can live free. We can live free. Not free from hurt and pain, circumstances here on this earth, but we can be free in Christ Jesus. That regardless of the circumstances in life, we have our roots planted deep. In our relationship with God Almighty, in the Word that He gives us, they're deep. That no matter the scorching that comes within our lives, it is well with us because it is well with our soul. Father, that's what You want for each one of us here this morning. Lord, there's some here whose roots are shallow. They wonder. They wonder where the freedom and peace goes. There's some here the tragedy has hit. And You have miraculously set them free. And their roots are deep within You and the praise comes easy to them. There's some in the middle of the scorching. Lord, they need that strength. They need that encouragement to know that whatever happens to them, it is well with them. Lord, may we make good decisions today. May we see You who You really are. May we see ourselves as we are, and we thank You. May we choose today, not just with our heart, but with our very soul, to love You. Now open up your altars, and I praise You. In Your name, amen.